Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a blessing that was. And He took away our sins, washed us, and made us clean. What a blessing that is. All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Last few weeks, actually, we've been studying the temptation of Christ and preaching on the temptation of Christ. There's so much here concerning that, and what a blessing it is to the New Testament church to have the words of God recorded for us and understand some of these things. And this in our study of this, we've learned that man faces spiritual warfare and temptations designed to get us to live opposite God's will. And most don't even realize it. Most of the world does not even understand that there's a spiritual war going on. And Satan is behind all of it, trying to get humanity to live opposite God's will for their lives, trying to keep humanity from ever believing in Jesus Christ. Because if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you can't be saved. And if you're not saved, you can't go to heaven. And Satan has a tremendous victory in your life, an eternal victory in your life. And then for the saved, if Satan can blind us to these things and we are not aware of spiritual warfare, then we'll just make decisions based upon the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And none of those decisions based on that's going to get you going in the right direction. You'll go in the wrong direction. And unless you're looking to God and going in the direction He wants you to go in, you can't have God's blessings. And so it's a spiritual warfare taking place. And we find here that in this temptation of Christ, that not only did Jesus endure the cross, which all of us are very much aware of, but He also endured this temptations of the devil, a 40-day battle with the devil himself, the temptations of Christ. And so if you will, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read this in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 once again. The Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward a-hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But He answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh Him up into the holy city, and setteth Him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto Him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give thee His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, unless at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' And Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' And again the devil taketh Him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto Him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before You once again, we want to thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Thank You for what we've already received and being in the services today. But now, Father, as we bow before You, we just pray, God, that You would meet with us in a very special way. I pray, God, that You would give each one of us that ear to hear what You have to say to us. I ask, God, that You would use me once again as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message to Your people from Your word. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So not only did Jesus endure the cross of Calvary for humanity, He also endured the temptations for 40 days, a 40-day battle. The purpose, as we've already looked at, is to, first of all, to exalt Jesus as our only hope, the only hope we have to overcoming Satan and overcoming the temptations that we face on a daily basis is to look to Jesus Christ and His example. The second thing was to expose the devil himself, because so many do not even believe that there is a spiritual warfare. They don't understand that there is a devil. Now, can I tell you, as we've studied, the devil is not omniscient. He does not know all things, nor is he omnipresent. God is omniscient and God is omnipresent. Satan was a created being, but he was a powerful created being, one of the archangels. And we find that according to the scriptures, as he rebelled against God, that he and an innumerable amount of angels was sent and came to this earth. And that is the adversary that we've battled today. Most people will never have to face Satan himself, but you will face seducing spirits. Those are the demons. Those are the spirits, the angels, the fallen angels that are following and doing his will. But Satan is going to be in the place in this world that he can do the most damage to the cause of Christ and to the world. Some might think that that would be China. That some might think that would be North Korea. Who knows? But it is evident that he and his angels are very much a part of trying to keep mankind from the will of God for their lives. That's a spiritual battle that we're facing today and have been facing for the existence of mankind. And so the last week we looked at the first temptation, the first recorded temptation that God has for us. There was many temptations. It was a 40-day battle as Jesus was fasting and being tempted by the spirits. But then Satan himself come to Jesus, and it reveals to us, the Bible reveals to us three temptations that God wants humanity and Christianity especially to understand. We're going to be facing these very same temptations, the very same devices of Satan. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices and how he works. And so we need to be aware of that. The very first one was recorded was he suggested that Jesus would turn stones into bread. Now, this was an appeal to our flesh. This was an appeal to our flesh. It was never intended that stones be made bread. And yet Jesus was about ready to starve to death. He had been fasting for 40 days. And so Satan used this as a temptation to the flesh. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. There's more important things than what this physical body needs. What's more important than what this physical body needs is what the Spirit of God offers. Not live by bread alone, but by every word. I'm going to live by every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. So we find that that was the first of the three recorded temptations. This morning, if you look here down to verse 5, chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6, the second temptation, the Bible says, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's the second temptation we find here. Satan's suggestion was for Jesus to jump up on a high place on the temple. And he suggests that Jesus jump. Have you ever been up on a high building, on a high place, and looked over, you heard something in the back of your mind saying, jump? Say, so hopefully not, but that's a devil. A sure way of killing you, and that's Satan's first and his greatest victory, is to get you to take your own life, amen, to jump off of a building somewhere. But even as a temptation, knowing who Jesus said that he was and knowing that they had just heard a voice from heaven after the baptism of Jesus, and this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. If you be that, you can jump and not be injured. So Satan tempted Jesus to tempt God in his suggestion to jump. Now, what I want to look at here, first of all, the second temptation Satan uses, what Jesus used to overcome Satan's first temptation. To overcome the first temptation, Jesus said, no, it is written. I'm looking to the Word of God, and it's more, the Word of God, God's message to me and God's instructions to me is more important than anything this world has to offer, anything this physical body wants. For I'm not going to live, it's more important to live by the Word of God than to live by the lust of the flesh. Basically, is what we find in that first temptation. But Jesus quoted Scripture. Do you notice what Satan did? in the second temptation, since he was not able to get the victory in the first temptation. And can I tell you, you might overcome one temptation, but he's not going to leave you forever. He's going to come back and he's going to bring another temptation into your life to live opposite the will of God for your life. And the second temptation, he adjusted his temptation to our ability to resist. So the second temptation of Christ, he comes back and uses what Jesus used to overcome the first temptation. And so now he comes back and he says, well, it is written. You use that against me to start with to be able to overcome the temptation. Let me give you something else. He says, it is written, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, unless at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. You can jump and be safe. Because isn't it written? And it was written, but it was not written in that context. It was not revealed in the way that Satan was using it. He says, for it is written, but with wrong interpretation. So now Satan is using the scriptures, if you will, but he's not using them the way that Christ used them in the context of how it was given to us. He was using the very words of God to tempt Christ to live opposite God's will for his life. And in doing this, Satan took Jesus to church. Did you see that? Did you notice that? The holiest place on planet Earth is the Temple Mount. I was in Israel just a few months ago, and we went to the Temple Mount. And to understand how that in all the earth, all the world, that one location has been the focal point of the whole earth, Old Testament and New Testament. And that little piece of ground known as Israel has been the focal point of humanity. And when Israel finally, when God led them out of the land of Egypt and they was going to the promised land was the land of Canaan. It was the land that we look to now as the land of Israel. And the most important part, the place in Israel, it was the Temple Mount. Because then, it was right there where David wanted to build it, but Solomon ended up building the very temple of God on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. They had the tabernacle all through the Old Testament, and then they brought the tabernacle to the promised land, and they built this permanent place of worship. They built the place where God filled the temple with his presence. Until Israel rebelled from God, and God judged them and they destroyed the temple. But God still had a purpose for that place, little plot of ground. And Zerubbabel, years later, came and rebuilt the temple. And that's where Jesus was taken by the devil. The holiest place on planet Earth, he takes him to the Temple Mount. Now it's the temple that Zerubbabel built, but it's still the representation of the presence of God. And he takes him to the highest place on the temple. And he says in church, it is written, God will protect you, jump. That's what he took him to church. He took him to church and he uses the Bible, but it's not the words of God. It's taken out of context. It doesn't say the same thing that God intended it to say. And he uses that against him. And he uses the very words of God in a church and he tempts Christ to live a certain way or do a certain thing that would prove to him that he was the Son of God. Wow. He says, prove God's promises by jumping. Can I tell you, we are to prove all things. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 to prove all things and hold on to that which is good. Once you have proved it to know it's the word of God, know it's the ways of God, then that's never going to change. Once you've proven it to understand the scriptures in context, in not getting out of scripture exactly what God wants you to get from the scriptures, then you have proved that and you hold on to that because that will never change. The words of God will never change. The truth of God will never change. So we are to make sure that we have the very words of God in context, exactly the way that God would have us to apply it to our lives. That comes by biblical interpretation. And once you have that, then hold on to it because it won't change. But also in the Bible, in James in chapter 1 and verse 13, let me just read it to you. I want you to listen to this. Follow me here. James chapter 1 and verse 13, it says this. Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So we are to prove the word of God, but not by tempting God. Satan says, this is what the word of God says, but he didn't use it in context. He didn't interpret it the way God wanted it interpreted. He could have deceived Jesus. That's what he was trying to do. But Jesus responded and said, no, you're trying to get me to tempt God. It is written again. I'm still going by what it's written because that is what I hold on to. That's what I've proved. But you're not interpreting it right. You're not taking it in context. Jesus says, it is written again. You can't go there with me, devil. I know what the word of God says because I wrote it. Amen. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So jumping off a building to see if God would keep him from injury was wrong. Even though somebody told you it's Bible. Somebody might have told you it's all right. They might have even pulled out something that might have looked like a Bible, but didn't say the same thing that our Bible says, and tried to tell you that it's all right to do this or that or the other, and trying to get you to tempt you to do something that the actual word of God, taken from the context of the scriptures with the proper interpretation, says, that's not how I intended that to be interpreted. But because a church says it's all right, so-called church, then I'm going to do it. Malachi chapter 3, let me share this with you. This is a powerful temptation. This is something that we had better be aware of. Jesus says, I'm recording it for you to understand how Satan's going to use. Satan will even take you to church if he takes you to a church that gets you to do something that's outside the will of God, to prove something that God will not approve. If you look over to, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Most people, when you come to church, and the pastor might mention tithing, you say, yeah, that's what all the church is all about. They all just preach on tithing. No, it is Bible. And Faith Promise Missions Emphasis Month is a month that we are asking you to pray concerning what God would have you to do in supporting missions work for 1 year. Faith Promise Missions Giving is committing to giving to God what God tells you to give to Him to support missions work around the world, amen, to do the work that God's called us to do. And so the Bible says here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? No one wants to think of themselves as a thief or a robber. Yet ye have robbed me. Now this is a prophecy to the children of Israel, the children of God, which is also a prophecy that can be applied to our lives. If you're a saved individual, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. One of the plans and purpose to show God's ownership of your life is a tithe. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. That's what God says. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. There it is. We are to prove all things. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Prove me. So I'm going to tithe this Sunday and sit back and see if God's word is true. All right, God, now you see this. I put my tithe in the offering plate, and I'm putting it in there just to see if your promises are true. I'm going to give you a whole week. And if during this week, if I'm blessed and if my money has increased and I have all these things going on, all right, then I'll tithe again next week to see if it continues to be true. Can I tell you what that is? That's tempting God. That's exactly what Jesus is presenting to us concerning this second temptation. That's tempting God. See, the right way is, I've read it in context, understanding how God would have me to interpret it, knowing it is God's will for my life. I believe the Bible. So because I believe the Bible and I know this is what God would have me to do, I will tithe. And no matter what happens this week or next year or 10 years from now, it's the truth of the Bible. And so as a born-again believer, I know it's for me. And so no matter what takes place, I'm going to commit to tithing. Because I've proved it out enough to know it's the proper interpretation of Scripture. Can I tell you, God will bless that. But you're tithing just to see if it's true. You're trying to tempt God. God doesn't bless that. Yeah. John chapter 15. Still haven't got it yet? Let me share one more illustration here. John chapter 15. So many use this verse. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Satan would say, the Bible says, ask for whatever you want. And if there is a God and his word is true, he'll answer that prayer. Okay, so I'm going to pray and ask God for something to see if it works. So I'm going to pray today and maybe give the Lord a week to answer the prayer. And if after a week it's not working, it's not true. Can I tell you that you've just fallen prey to this temptation of the devil to tempt God? First of all, to think that you can ask for whatever you want. Lord, make me a millionaire by next week and I'll continue to tithe. And some people say, Lord, if you let me win the lottery, I'll tithe on that. So I'm asking God, help me to win the lottery. You shouldn't even be involved in the lottery, amen? But to think that you can ask for that, to see if God's word is true, is tempting God. You can ask, but it won't be answered by God. Now, the devil might answer a prayer like that just to get you even more committed to him and asking for those types of, I don't know, but I know that that's not how God works. It won't be answered by God because you are tempting God and God will not be tempted. You see, the right way here is I will learn God's word and will be dedicated to living it, because the Bible says, if you abide in me, and my word abide in you. Don't leave that out. Before the promise was ever given, the qualification to qualify that promise, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. So the correct way is, I will learn God's word and will be dedicated to living it, for I know I can ask him for whatever I need if I'm living in his will. And he shall supply all my need. See, many tempt God by taking scripture out of context and misinterpreting what God says. God is to be trusted and obeyed, not tempted. Amen. We trust and obey, for there's no other way. Amen. Not temptation. Go back with me to our text. That's a powerful, powerful truth that God gives us in the second temptation. I want to conclude this week by giving you the third temptation. The third temptation. Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The third temptation, Satan offers what he cannot give. He offers him a temptation of power and glory. In the book of Luke, we find the very same temptation of Christ. Luke presents it a little bit different, but we find here God has it for us to learn from both. In Luke in chapter 4 and verse 5 through 7 here, Luke chapter 4 and verse 5, it says this, and the devil taketh him up into a high mountain and showeth him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, flashed all of this through his eyes and through his mind in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power. So Luke uses this idea of power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. Delivered unto him and whoever he wants to give it. That's not Bible. Right. So the temptation of power and glory, a false concept of what sin will bring into your life. A false concept out of what if turning away from God to live in the world will do for us. A position, a pleasure, happiness. How many have fallen due to this temptation if it will position you with power? How many have fallen to this temptation of if you just yield to it, it'll bring pleasure into your life? How many have fallen to this temptation? If you just give in to it, it'll bring you happiness. And based on the temptation that cannot be fulfilled, we fall into a desire for a position, a desire for pleasure, a desire for happiness. The Bible said that Satan came to him and he tempted him on this last temptation, and he showeth him the lust of the eyes, the eye gate to the mind, the eye gate to the mind. Flash it all before him. You can have power. You can have pleasure. You can have happiness. But an offer is only good as the testimony of the one who offers it. the honesty of the one who offers it. And Satan is a liar and a thief and a robber. In Genesis chapter 13, not to turn there, we don't have time, but Genesis chapter 13, Lot, when he made a decision that would impact not only his life, but the life of his family, he looked up. When he looked up, he looked for what seemed best to the eyes. The Bible says in Genesis 13:10, he lifted up his eyes and beheld. He didn't think about God's will. He didn't think about Abraham. He just saw what he wanted to see. The best land, the best position, the pleasure of the land, happiness. And he chose. And that choice was a temptation that led to the destruction of his entire family. Even David, King David, man after God's own heart. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 11:2, saw a woman washing herself. And it flashed before his mind, pleasure. It flashed before his mind, I'm the king. I have the position to have what I want. And as he gave in to that temptation, his entire family would suffer because of the temptation that he yielded to. Satan's price tag, worship me. You see, in order to worship the devil, you have to turn away from God. Satan's price tag, his temptation, he'll offer you, he'll make you think everything, whatever you want to think, it's going to do in getting you a position, it's going to give you pleasure, going to bring you happiness, and it's all lies and deception. It's a temptation to take from you something that you cannot afford to lose. That is a walk with God. Worship me. Can I tell you that this morning, never give up that which you cannot afford to lose. Never give up that which you cannot afford to lose. You're going to be tempted to do so. Don't turn from God. Do not turn your back on God, no matter what is offered. In closing, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10 says this, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You understand? See what Jesus did? Is it the same thing that we need to do when we come under these temptations? Satan, go away. For my mind is settled. My heart is settled. I will focus on God and his will for my life and will never give in to your temptation. Get thee hence. Go away. The Bible says if we resist the devil, he will flee. Amen. How are you doing on the temptations that we face on a daily basis? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Just think about it right now. All of us are tempted. There's none exempt from that. And it's going to be different temptations in different places and different times. And Satan has a way to adjust the temptations, but he's the same devil. How are you doing in overcoming those temptations that do not lead to power and glory and pleasure and happiness, but leads to death and destruction. How are we doing? I trust that you will follow Jesus' lead. Have your mind and heart settled upon God. And tell Satan to go away. Father, we bow before you this morning. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for suffering the temptation of the devil and giving us an example that we can look to how we can overcome as you did. Meet with us now. Speak to us during this invitation. Help us to know exactly what decisions need to be made. In Jesus' name.